नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
हरे कृष्ण Welcome to the Bhagavata Pravaha online course on the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first two episodes, we have covered the first six chapters of the 6th canto. Today, we will discuss the next three chapters, chapter number 7, 8 and 9. In the 6th chapter, we have seen the 60 daughters of Daksha getting married to multiple personalities. And they gave birth to so many species of living entities, including aquatics, then animals, and snakes, and different birds, and cows, and many other kinds of living entities. And Aditi married Kashyapa. Aditi, one of the daughters of Daksha, she got married to Kashyapa, and they gave birth to 12 Adityas. And one of the Adityas was Tvashta. And Tvashta married Rachana. And Rachana was the daughter of Daityas. So, Daksha, this Tvashta and Rachana together begot two sons named Sannivesha and Vishwarupa, as you see in the chart. This Sannivesha and Vishwarupa are the sons of Tvashta and Rachana. And Vishwarupa was accepted as the guru by the demigods. When the demigods were rejected by Brihaspati. So this is what Sukadeva Goswami spoke to us in the 6th canto of Bhagavatam, 6th chapter. And Parikshit Maharaj had asked a question in the beginning of the 7th chapter. He asked, why did Brihaspati reject the demigods? What was their offense? Under what circumstances did the demigods accept Vishwarupa as their guru? I want to know that story. So then Sukadeva Goswami began his narration. One day, this king of heavenly planets, Indra, was sitting on the throne of this high Swargaloka. So Indra was sitting on the throne and he was surrounded by so many demigods and Gandharvas and Siddhas and Charanas and so many other categories and groups of demigods. And they were singing his glories. There was a lot of music and dance and it's crowded. The heavenly assembly was crowded with so many people and so much of joy was happening there. So Indra was sitting on the high throne. He was resplendent. He was enjoying the material opulence and he was so happy. At that time, the guru of the devatas, Brihaspati, this pure great Brahmana, has entered this assembly, heavenly assembly. When a Brahmana comes, the king also is supposed to stand up from his seat and respectfully invite that Brahmana and offer him a sweet and worship him. And he is not an ordinary Brahmana. Brihaspati was not a general Brahmana. Brihaspati was directly the guru of the devatas. And Indra, the king of the devatas, was supposed to welcome him. Indra noticed Brihaspati. But Indra did not get up from his seat. Indra did not speak a single word to welcome Brihaspati. And Indra did not do anything to receive Brihaspati or to respect Brihaspati. And Indra did not do anything. All the other demigods also followed Indra. They also did not do anything to welcome Brihaspati. So Brihaspati noticed it. So Brihaspati thought that Indra became so puffed up of his material opulence. He was so proud of his position as the king of heaven. So, he doesn't deserve my guidance. So, Brihaspati just left the assembly. Silently, he left the assembly. He did not chastise Indra. Brihaspati did not curse Indra. Brihaspati did not do anything to correct Indra. He just silently left from the assembly. It's the nature of all kshatriyas or all rulers or any gentle person to receive a brahmana. We have seen in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam how Lord Krishna is very respectful to the brahmanas. నమో బ్రహ్మణ్య దేవాయ గోబ్రాహ్మణహితాయ చ జగద్ధితాయ కృష్ణాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. సో కృష్ణ ఈజ్ బ్రహ్మణ్య దేవ. కృష్ణ ఈజ్ కృష్ణ లవ్స్ బ్రాహ్మణస్ అండ్ కౌస్ సో మచ్ అండ్ హీ ఈజ్ ద ప్రొటెక్టర్. హీస్ ప్రైమరీలీ ద ప్రొటెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ కౌస్ అండ్ బ్రాహ్మణస్. అండ్ వెన్ బ్రాహ్మణస్ కమ్ టు ద్వారకా టు మీట్ కృష్ణ, కృష్ణ ఇన్వైట్స్ దెమ్ సో కార్డియల్లీ అండ్ కృష్ణ రెస్పెక్ట్స్ దెమ్ అండ్ వర్షిప్స్ దెమ్ అండ్ ఈవెన్ వాషెస్ హిస్ ఫీట్ ఆల్సో, దేర్ ఫీట్ ఆల్సో. వెన్ రుక్మిణీదేవి హెడ్ సెంట్ ఎ లెటర్ టు కృష్ణ విత్ ఎ మెసేజ్, దెన్ దట్ మెసేజ్ వాజ్ బ్రాట్ టు కృష్ణ బై ఎ బ్రాహ్మణ. సో వెన్ దిస్ బ్రాహ్మణ కేమ్ టు ద్వారకా అండ్ గేవ్ దట్ మెసేజ్ టు కృష్ణ, కృష్ణ రిసీవ్డ్ దట్ బ్రాహ్మణ అండ్ గేవ్ హిమ్ ఆల్ హాస్పిటాలిటీ అండ్ ఎంక్వైర్డ్ అబౌట్ హిస్ వెల్ఫేర్ అండ్ హీ వర్షిప్డ్ దట్ బ్రాహ్మణ అండ్ హీ టుక్ దట్ బ్రాహ్మణ విత్ గ్రేట్ రెస్పెక్ట్. అండ్ ఆల్సో వెన్ సుధామ బ్రాహ్మణ కేమ్ టు ద్వారక, కృష్ణ రిసీవ్డ్ సుధామ బ్రాహ్మణ విత్ గ్రేట్ లవ్ అండ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ అండ్ హీ మేడ్ సుధామ టు సిట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ ఆన్ హిస్ ఓన్ పర్సనల్ కౌచ్, కృష్ణస్ పర్సనల్ కౌచ్. అండ్ హీ అండ్ రుక్మిణీదేవి వాజ్ పర్సనల్లీ ఫ్యానింగ్ సుధామ అండ్ కృష్ణ వాష్డ్ ద ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ సుధామ అండ్ దెన్ స్ప్రింకిల్ దట్ వాటర్ ఆన్ హిస్ హెడ్ అండ్ హీ ఆఫర్డ్ ఆల్ కైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ వర్షిప్ పారాఫెర్నేలియా టు సుధామ. సుధామ ఫెల్ట్ సో ఎంబ్రెస్డ్. సో వెన్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ కృష్ణ గివ్స్ సో మచ్ ఆఫ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు ద బ్రాహ్మణస్, వై నాట్ ఎ కింగ్ ఆఫ్ హెవెన్ గివ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు బ్రాహ్మణస్? అండ్ హీఈస్ నాట్ ఏ జనరల్ బ్రాహ్మణ, హీఈస్ ద గురు, డైరెక్ట్లీ ద గురు ఆఫ్ ది దేవతాస్. బట్ దిస్ ఇంద్ర హ్యాడ్ ద ఆడాసిటీ అండ్ ప్రైడ్ టు ఈవెన్ అఫెండ్ హిస్ గురు. హీ డిడ్ నాట్ డూ ఎనీథింగ్ టు రెస్పెక్ట్ బృహస్పతి వెన్ హీ ఎంటర్డ్ ద అసెంబ్లీ. సో యాక్చువల్లీ అవర్ ఎబిలిటీ టు రెస్పెక్ట్ ఎనీ వన్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ రెస్పెక్టింగ్ గురు అండ్ వర్షిపింగ్ గురు. వెన్ వీ వర్షిప్ గురు దెన్ వీ విల్ గెట్ ద ఎబిలిటీ టు రెస్పెక్ట్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఎల్స్. సకల సమ్మాన కొరితే శకతి దేహనాథ జత జత. సో దర్ ఇస్ అ బ్యూటిఫుల్ వైష్ణవ భజన్ దట్ సేస్ సకల సమ్మాన కొరితే శక్తి, సమ్మాన్ ఈజ్ రెస్పెక్ట్. వీ విల్ బి ఎక్విప్డ్ విత్ ద ఎబిలిటీ టు ఆఫర్ రెస్పెక్ట్స్ టు ఎవ్రీ వన్ అకార్డింగ్ టు వాట్ ది డిజర్వ్, అకార్డింగ్ టు వాట్ ఎవర్ ఈస్ ద అప్రోప్రియట్ స్టాండర్డ్ బై ద మెర్సీ ఆఫ్ గురు. వెన్ గురు షోస్ అస్ మెర్సీ దెన్ వీ విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు ఆఫర్ రెస్పెక్ట్స్ టు అదర్ పీపుల్ ఆల్సో. సో దెన్ హౌ మచ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ దట్ గురు డిజర్వ్స్. సో ఇఫ్ ద గురు ఈస్ డిస్రెస్పెక్టెడ్ దెన్ వన్ కెనాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎనీ సక్సెస్ ఆర్ విక్టరీ ఆర్ వెల్ఫేర్ ఆర్ సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్ ఆర్ హ్యాపీనెస్ ఇన్ వన్స్ లైఫ్. యస్య ప్రసాదాత్ భగవత్ ప్రసాదో యస్య అప్రసాదాత్ నగతిక్కుతోపి. బై వర్షిపింగ్ గురు, బై ప్లీజింగ్ గురు, వీ విల్ బీ ఏబుల్ టు ప్లీజ్ ద లార్డ్. బై రిసీవింగ్ ద మెర్సీ ఆఫ్ గురు, వీ విల్ రిసీవ్ ద మెర్సీ ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ కృష్ణ డైరెక్ట్లీ. బట్ బై డిస్ప్లీజింగ్ గురు, బై ద డిస్ప్లెజర్ ఆఫ్ గురు, వీ విల్ బి డిస్ప్లీజింగ్ ద సుప్రీం లార్డ్ ఆల్సో. సో వన్ హ్యాస్ టు గివ్ గ్రేట్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు వన్స్ గురు. అండ్ ఇంద్ర ఫెయిల్ టు గివ్ దట్ రెస్పెక్ట్. కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇన్ భాగవతం, ఆచార్యం మా విజానీయం నా అవమన్యేత కర్హిచిత్. సో నెవర్ ఇన్సల్ట్ ఆచార్య, నెవర్ ఇన్సల్ట్ ఎ గురు, నెవర్ కన్సిడర్డ్ నా మర్త్యబుద్ధ్యా అసూయేత, నెవర్ కన్సిడర్ యువర్ గురు టు బి ఆర్డినరీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్. నెవర్ ఎన్వీ ఏ గురు, ఓ గురు ఈజ్ యాక్సెప్టింగ్ ఆల్ సర్వీసెస్ అండ్ ఫెసిలిటీస్ ఫ్రమ్ డిసైపుల్స్ అండ్ ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆర్ డూయింగ్ హార్డ్ వర్క్. వన్ షుడ్ నాట్ థింక్ లైక్ దట్. వన్ షుడ్ యాక్సెప్ట్ సర్వీస్ టు గురు, వర్షిప్ టు గురు యాజ్ ద మోస్ట్ బొనఫైడ్ అండ్ రేరెస్ట్ ప్రివిలేజ్ అండ్ గ్రేటెస్ట్ ఫార్చ్యూన్. సో ఇంద్ర ఫెయిల్ టు ఈవెన్ రెస్పెక్ట్ హిజ్ ఓన్ గురు. వెన్ సమ్వన్ ఈస్ ఇంటాక్సికేటెడ్ విత్ వెల్త్ అండ్ ప్రైడ్ వన్ విల్ డెవలప్ దట్ ఆడాసిటీ అండ్ ఆరగెన్స్ ఈవెన్ టు డిస్రెస్పెక్ట్ వన్స్ గురు ఆల్సో. సో వన్ షుడ్ నెవర్ డిస్రెస్పెక్ట్ గురు. అండ్ వెల్త్, మెటీరియల్ వెల్త్ వెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఎంగేజ్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణస్ సర్వీస్ కుడ్ బ్రింగ్ సో మెనీ డిఫికల్టీస్ అండ్ మిజరీస్ అండ్ సో మెనీ అన్వాంటెడ్ మెంటాలిటీస్ అండ్ పర్సనాలిటీ ట్రేట్స్ విత్ ఇన్ ఎ పర్సన్. దిస్ వన్ మెటీరియల్ వెల్త్, if it is not utilized properly with proper maturity and right consciousness, that wealth could completely degrade our consciousness, could completely spoil our spiritual life also. So one should not be puffed up of one's material position and material wealth. And Indra, being the king of heaven, So a person, an ordinary person, cannot become king of heaven. So Indra is also called Shatakratu. So after performing heaps of pious activities and 100 sacrifices, one will be able to attain the position of the king of heaven. It's a very responsible position, very exalted privilege. And a person who has done a lot of hard work to attain that position also could become so complacent and callous towards the basic commonsensical activity of respecting Guru, receiving Guru, worshipping Guru, and speaking some sweet words in acknowledgement of the presence of Guru. So Indra did not do anything to do, anything to respect Brihaspati. He has taken Brihaspati for granted. He came yesterday, he came day before yesterday, he came today also, he will come tomorrow also. So, I mean, it's a regular affair. Why should I do anything to specially respect him? So, Indra just neglected, ignored. Not that Indra was doing something else or he was busy with something, that's why he could not notice the presence of Brihaspati. So, for instance, when Parikshit Maharaj came to Shamikrishi's ashram, Shamikrishi was absorbed in meditation. And Parikshit asked for water, and because Shamikrishi was totally absorbed in trance, he was in samadhi, he could not acknowledge the presence of Parikshit, and Parikshit got offended. But here Indra was not doing any meditation, and Indra, it's not that he was absorbed in some trance or he was busy with something that he did not notice the presence of this Brihaspati. Indradyumna Maharaj was doing his meditation. When Agastya Rishi came there, this Indradyumna could not receive him. So like that, when somebody is doing meditation or absorbed in some activity, one may fail to acknowledge the presence of a guest. But here Indra was awake, Indra was enjoying all the opulence of the assembly, and Indra even noticed the entrance of Brihaspati into this assembly. Still Indra did not respect. So Brihaspati just left that assembly. Brihaspati completely ignored. Brihaspati did not criticize or curse or chastise or give any correction to Indra, because a great soul need not chastise or punish a wrongdoer. When a wrongdoer offends a great soul, the offense itself will degrade that person. And this is offense to not just a common great person. This offense is towards one's own guru. The result of the offense to one's guru is so bad that one will be deprived of one's position, one's prestige, one's knowledge, one's everything. One could lose everything, that we will see in this Indra's example. So Brihaspati even knew the future of Indra. So because of his offense to guru, what Indra is going to face, Brihaspati could understand, because he's a very exalted personality. So he just left. He did not even curse. Then Indra immediately realized, oh, I have done a mistake. So I have done a mistake out of my arrogance and pride, out of my foolishness, out of Aishwarya Matta. Aishwarya means opulence. Matta means intoxication. Because I am totally intoxicated with material wealth, I could not respect my guru when he came into the assembly. I have insulted my guru. I condemned my wealth and opulence. I don't want this opulence and wealth. Even a king on the throne, high throne, also should respect a brahmana when the brahmana comes into the kingdom. And ignorant leaders mislead people on the path of destruction to hell. I am like that ignorant leader. So Indra was the king of demigods. He has done this offense. And other demigods also did not do much to respect Brihaspati. So Indra's offense caused all the demigods to lose their opulence, that we will see in future. So, like following an ignorant leader, foolish leader, intoxicated leader, or a leader who is so puffed up and proud of one's material wealth, following such a leader is extremely detrimental to one's well-being. That following such a leader is like traveling on a stone boat. So you may travel on a boat that can take you across a river, but if you are traveling on a stone boat, the stone boat will just drown only. A stone will not float on the water. Stone will drown, unless it is Lord Ramachandra's stone that he used to make a bridge across the Lanka ocean, anyway, every stone will just drown in the water. So if you make a boat out of stone, the boat will only sink. Similarly, if you follow ignorant and foolish and arrogant and proud, puffed up leaders, the followers also will be doomed in their life. So now Indra came back to his senses. Indra realized his mistake, and Indra wanted to go and fall at the feet of Brihaspati and beg forgiveness from Brihaspati. So Brihaspati became invisible. Although Indra was regretful, Indra was honest. Earlier Indra did a mistake, but now he became very honest and he regretted for his mistake. He did not justify his mistake. Oh, I didn't see him. He did not cover it up. He honestly regretted for his mistake. But sometimes we cannot undo our mistake. Once a mistake is done by us, some mistakes are very grave. Sometimes we may do a small mistake and we may say sorry, and then we may be forgiven for it. We could rectify that mistake very easily. But some mistakes are very grave that you have to respond appropriately at the spur of the moment only. As soon as Indra saw Brihaspati, he could have got up from his seat. That's the right response. And that right response has to be given at that moment only. Right at that moment. Even if he realizes after 1 minute or 10 minutes or after in the next day, he has actually lost the chance. So sometimes some situations are non-negotiable. So Indra did that mistake. He has to experience the results or the repercussions for the mistake. Indra cannot overcome this mistake. So now, although he became very regretful and he wanted to go and beg forgiveness of Brihaspati, Brihaspati became invisible. So demigods could not find, and all the demigods searched at different places, but Brihaspati was not visible only. Brihaspati is such a exalted soul that he made him completely invisible to all the demigods who were searching. So Indra lost all peace. And because Indra did this mistake and Indra was in this kind of predicament, hearing the pitiable situation of Indra, all the demons came to attack the demigods. They were inspired by Sukracharya. All the demons, the Rakshasas, they were so obedient to their guru Sukracharya, while the Devatas were not obedient to their guru Brihaspati. So obedience to guru is a very important principle, that even if demons are obedient to their guru, by the empowerment of their guru, demons also could be successful in their endeavors, and they could even defeat demigods also. By the blessings of Sukracharya, all the demons came and declared a war against the demigods, and all the demigods were injured in this war. They all approached Brahma. They lost their positions. They lost the heavenly planets, and they were practically driven out of heavenly planets, and all the demons occupied the heavens. So all the demigods, the devatas, went to Brahmaji and begged for some solution. They went to Brahma and said, "Oh, Lord Brahma, due to madness of material opulence, we have acted in this way. So please show us some solution. We lost all positions." Then Brahmaji told all the demigods that you have acted so arrogantly, so impudently out of your madness in material wealth. So because of your misbehavior, not towards an ordinary person, you have misbehavior towards your own guru. So because of your misbehavior towards guru, you are defeated by the weak demons. Demons are not as strong as the demigods. Demigods are very pure in their character. The demigods are very clean in their lifestyle, in their thought process. They are predominantly in goodness, but the demons are predominantly in passion and ignorance. But such weaker demigods, the weaker demons also could defeat the demigods, because demigods offended their guru. They became weaker than the demons. So the demons gained their strength by the power of worshipping guru. So one becomes strong in one's position by worshipping guru and Brahmanas and the Supreme Lord and the cows. So if you offend a Brahmana, offend a guru, what will happen? So, but still, now that you have regretted for your mistake, you realized your mistake and you want back the heavenly planets, So my suggestion to you is, you all should go to Vishwarupa. Who was Vishwarupa? The son of Tvashta, we have seen in the previous chapter. You go to Vishwarupa and accept him as your priest, as your guru, and he will help you in regaining your heavenly planets. And because this Vishwarupa was the son of Tvashta and Rachana. Tvashta was an Aditya, son of Aditi. Rachana was the daughter of Daityas. So this Vishwarupa, who is the son of Tvashta and Rachana, is connected both to the demigods and the demons. So naturally Vishwarupa will be little inclined towards the demons also. So Brahmaji warned all the demigods, you accept Vishwarupa as your guru, as your priest. He will help you to regain your positions in the heavenly planets. But you have to tolerate Vishwarupa's inclination towards the demons. He will be naturally inclined towards the demons because he is the son of a mother who is coming from the Daitya dynasty. So then the demigod said, okay, fine, we will do that. And they went to Vishwarupa. All the demigods went to Vishwarupa and they asked Vishwarupa, can you please become our priest? Then Vishwarupa said, the demigod said, we are on the level of your parents. So please try to fulfill our desire. It is the highest duty of a son to fulfill the desires of parents, to serve the parents. So you should please all of us. You should help us reinstate us in the position of the universal administrators. So we are all defeated by our enemies. So we lost heavenly positions. So please relieve us from this distress. So because you are aware of the Supreme Lord, you can act as our guru. Because the Vishwarupa may be hesitant. I am very younger to you. You are all demigods. You are on the level of my parents. I am very younger to you. How can I become your guru? He may say like that. But the Devata said, no. You are a Brahmana. And you definitely have the power to instruct us also. Because you are so aware of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are definitely qualified to teach us, to become our guru. And you are very advanced in chanting the Vedic mantras also. You can become our priest without any hesitation. Please become our priest. Then Vishwarupa said, yes, you are all my superiors. You are on the level of my parents. You are on the level of my gurus. I am like your disciple. I cannot refuse your request. Oh Indra, oh all the demigods. So actually priesthood causes the loss of Brahminical power. If I accept priesthood of someone, then I may lose my Brahminical power, but still I want to help you. So I will definitely do it. I will be fulfilling your request. And Vishwarupa accepted the proposal of the demigods and he performed the necessary priestly rituals and activities. And he composed this Narayana Kavacha and helped Indra to regain the heavenly position. So Vishwarupa taught Narayana Kavacha to the demigods, to Indra. So then Vishwarupa spoke to Indra the secret hymn. Narayana Kavacha is a very secret hymn and it's meant to conquer the demons. So that completes the 7th chapter. And in the 8th chapter, this Narayana Kavacha is explained very elaborately. So Narayana Kavacha means shield. Narayana Kavacha means the shield of Lord Narayana. So now Parikshit Maharaj asked, Sukadeva Goswami, what was that Narayana Kavacha taught by Vishwarupa to Indra? I want to know that. So in the 6th canto, 8th chapter, Sukadeva Goswami elaborately describes this Narayana Kavacha. Narayana Kavacha is basically a prayer, a very secret and confidential hymn that is meant to invoke protection offered by the Supreme Lord in his various incarnations at various times during the day. And the Lord's weapons are also invoked there in this prayer so that there is protection for all of us. So there is Utpattinyasa and Samharanyasa. So we need to chant Om Namo Narayanaya. And on the 8 limbs of the body, just like we put Tilak, Redkeshvaya Namaha, Narayana Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, Govindaya Namaha, all that, we chant all these names while applying Tilak on our bodies. Similarly, one needs to chant different syllables and the holy names of the Lord on different parts of the body to invoke protection upon oneself. There is Karanyasam. And one should also chant Om Vishnave Namaha, placing syllables on different bodily limbs. And after finishing chanting, one should consider oneself as the servant of the Supreme Lord and chant this protective Narayana Kavacha. So, Narayana Kavacha includes protection from various bad elements, and this protection comes from the Supreme Lord directly. So, there is a prayer offered to Matsya. May Lord Matsya protect me in the water. May Lord Vamanadev protect me on the land. May Lord Vishwarupa protect me in the sky. So, the Supreme Lord manifested himself in various forms or various incarnations like Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Vamana, Narasimha, Rama, Krishna, Balarama, Parashurama, like that. So, prayers are offered to different incarnations to invoke their protection in different parts of this universe. So, Matsya should protect me from water. Then, Vamana should protect me from land. Then, Vishwarupa, may that Trivikrama protect me from in the sky. May Narasimhadeva protect me in different places, difficult places. May Lord Varahadeva protect me in streets. May Parashuram protect me on the top of mountains. May Ramachandra protect me in foreign countries. And may Lord Narayana protect me from unnecessary false religious systems. And may Nara protect me from unnecessary pride. And may Dattatreya protect me from falling down from Bhakti Yoga. May Kapila protect me from the material bondage of fruitive activities, because Kapila taught Sankhya Yoga. And may Sanat Kumara protect me from lust. May Hayagriva protect me from neglecting to offer obeisances to the Lord. Like that, the protection of various forms of the Lord is invoked. There are prayers offered to then Hayagriva, Narada, Kurma, Dhanvantari, Rishabhadeva, Lord Yajna, then Balarama, Sesha, Vyasadev, Buddha and Kalki. So all the incarnations are praised in this protective hymn to invoke their protection at various places in the universe. And also, specific names of the Supreme Lord are chanted to invoke protection of the Lord in different parts of the day. So, may Keshava protect me in the first part of the day with his gada, Kaumoduki gada. May Govinda play his flute and protect me in the second part of the day. May Narayana with all his opulences protect me in the third part of the day. May Vishnu with his chakra weapon, Sudarshana Chakra, protect me in the fourth part of the day. May Madhudvisha with his bow protect me in the fifth part of the day. May Madhava protect me in the evening. May Hrishikesha protect me during the night. May Padmanabha protect me during the dead of night. So, like that, prayers are offered. May Damodara protect me in the early morning. May Vishveshwara protect me in the junctions of day and night. May Janardana protect me at the end of night. So, like that, different parts of the day, we chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord in his various forms and various incarnations to invoke his protection during different parts of the day at different parts in the universe. And also, some prayers are offered to the weapons of the Lord. The Lord has so many weapons like the Sudarshana Chakra, then Gada, Kaumodaki Gada, Panchajanya, conch shell and a sword and a shield. So these are various weapons of the Lord, and prayers are offered to weapons also. Even weapons are also personalities. For example, Sudarshana Chakra is a personality. We have seen how Sudarshan Chakra protected Ambarish Maharaj from that fiery demon created by Durvasa Muni. Once Durvasa Muni went to Ambarish Maharaj, that was a day when Ambarish Maharaj had to break his Ekadashi fast. So Ambarish Maharaj requested Durvasa Muni, please take meals in my house. Then Durvasa said, okay, fine, I will definitely take. Let me take bath and come back. So Durvasa Muni went to take bath and he was not coming. And the time, the auspicious time to break the fast is passing away. So Ambarish Maharaj has taken little water. So, accepting water is considered breaking fast and not breaking fast also. So, he accepted little water and Durvasa Muni came, and by his mystic power, Durvasa Muni understood that this Ambarish Maharaj has taken water in my absence. He invited me as a guest, But without feeding me, before feeding me, he has accepted something. It's a great offense to me. I'm a great Brahmana. So Durvasamuni created a fiery demon to kill Ambarish Maharaj at that time. Sudarshan Chakra voluntarily came to kill this fiery demon and killed the fiery demon and started chasing Durvasamuni. So in this way, Sudarshan Chakra protected Ambarish Maharaj. Like that, Lord Kaumodaki Gada also protects all the devotees. We have seen in the third canto, Kaumodaki Bhagavato Daitam Smareta Digdhamarati Bhatasho Nitakardamena Mala Madhuvrata Varutha Giropagushtam Chaityasya Tattvamamalam Manimasya Kanthe. In this shloka, Kaumodaki Bhagavato Daitam Smareta. This Kaumodaki Gada is very dear to the Supreme Lord. And this Kaumodaki Gada is always tainted with the blood of demons. So, this Kaumodaki Gada is meant to protect the demons from, protect the devotees from demons. We have also seen in the previous episodes where our Yamaraj tells the Yamadutas that all the devotees of Supreme Lord Vishnu are protected specifically by the Gada. The club, Kaumodaki Gada of the Supreme Lord. So, he says that the Supreme Lord's Gada protects, and whenever Yamadutas try to capture the devotees, Gada will just hit them. So, that's why Gada is always tainted with the blood of the demons. Harer Gadaya Bhiguptan Naisham Vayam Nachavayaha Prabhavam Adandi. So, prayers are offered to the weapons of the Lord also. So, first prayer is offered to Sudarshana Chakra. This Sudarshana Chakra was set into motion by the Lord. It goes in different directions with dazzling effulgence and beheads different demons who might trouble the devotees. Like that. And like that, offers prayers are offered to different weapons of the Lord. And also different attributes of the Lord are also glorified. The Lord's name is glorified. The Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu's name also offers protection. If you take shelter of a name of the Lord, Bhagavan Nama Rupanu Kirtanat. If we glorify the Supreme Lord's name and form, then that glorification will act as protection for all of us. Whenever some bad elements attack us, if we chant the holy names of the Supreme Lord, we will immediately feel confident. We will be placing ourselves under the shelter of the Supreme Lord. For example, we have seen in the Ajamil episode, Ajamil was being attacked by Yamadutas. Then Ajamil was chanting Narayana, 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 Narayana like that. He was of course indicating his son, but the name Narayana is very potent, that Narayana gave protection to Ajamil from the Yamadutas. So we have to take shelter of the holy names of the Lord. And there is also prayer offered to Garuda, the Lord's carrier, and Vishwaksena, and other names and forms and carriers and weapons of the Lord. And a very specific prayer is offered to Lord Narasimhadev, who is specifically known and popular to vanquish all the distresses of devotees. So Narasimhadev will kill all the obstacles on the path of devotional service. So we have seen that elaborately in the previous sessions. And this prayer, protective hymn called Narayana Kavacha, was taught by Vishwarupa to Indradev. So Indra has accepted this Narayana Kavacha. He wore this armor, means he was chanting this protective hymn, Narayana Kavacha. And you can see that Narayana is there and so many incarnations of Lord Narayana. So Vishwarupa with his three heads was teaching this Indra all this Narayana Kavacha. So then, one day, we completed the 8th chapter. One day, we entered the 9th chapter. So once this Indra has seen Vishwarupa offering some oblations to the demons. As we discussed, Vishwarupa was the son of Tvashta and Aditya, and Rachana, the daughter of Daityas. So Vishwarupa was naturally inclined towards Daityas also. Daityas means demons. So Vishwarupa was offering oblations to the demons also to strengthen them, and Indra noticed it. Vishwarupa actually had three heads. So with one head he would drink somarasa, with another head he would take wine, with the third head he would accept food. So Vishwarupa was secretly offering oblations to the demons, his relatives. So Indra became so insecure, so envious and so angry that he has cut the three heads of Vishwarupa. He has beheaded Vishwarupa. So earlier Indra offended one Brahmana, his own guru Brihaspati. Now he has killed another Brahmana, Vishwarupa. So Brihaspati was his guru. By not welcoming Brihaspati, Indra committed a grave offense and he lost everything. And now somehow by the mercy of Vishwarupa, Indra received the kingdom again. And Indra now beheads this Vishwarupa. Killing a guru is much more grave offense. Only by the blessings of Vishwarupa, Indra received all the opulence back, heavenly opulence back. But without any gratitude, out of insecurity, out of momentary anger, Indra killed Vishwarupa. And Vishwarupa's three heads were cut by Indra, and the three heads were transformed into three birds. One is Kapinjala, and Kalavinka, that is sparrow, and Titri, this common parrots. So these are the three birds that came out of the three heads of Vishwarupa when Indra cut those heads. So Indra became repentant again. Sometimes we may repeatedly commit some mistake even after repenting for that mistake. So the urge, unless we are completely purified, we may not be able to completely restrain ourselves from committing mistakes. Indra did one mistake, one offense to Guru. He regretted for it and he learned his lesson. But again he committed another mistake out of his deep insecurity. Oh, again the demons could become powerful. They may accept all our kingdom again. So he became so insecure like this. So Indra repented for his mistake, and this is Brahmahatya. Killing a Brahmana is wrong, and that too this Brahmana was the guru also. Killing a Brahmana guru was extremely a grave offense. So Indra received the sinful reaction of killing this Brahmana, and Indra suffered that reaction for 1 year, and later he distributed that reaction to four parties. One to the earth, second to the water, third to the trees, and fourth to the woman. So he divided his sinful reaction to 1/4 of the sinful reaction to each of these four categories of people. So he gave some sinful reaction to the earth. And because of accepting this sinful reaction, earth has deserts on her surface. There are deserts which are very dry and it's very difficult to travel there. So those deserts are because of accepting Indra's sinful reaction. For accepting this sinful reaction, Indra also gave a benediction to earth. That benediction is, there are ditches in the earth, they are automatically filled. So when there is some ditches in the earth, they are automatically filled because of the movement of soil and all. And trees also accepted the reaction of Indra. Trees accepted the sinful reaction, because of which trees have sap coming out of them. And a benediction that Indra has given to the trees in exchange of the sinful reaction was, whenever you cut the branch or a twig from a tree, again they can grow. So the branches and twigs would automatically grow when they are trimmed. That's the benediction that they received. So like that he gave benedictions in exchange of sinful reactions. The trees, the woman, the earth and water accepted the sinful reaction, and in exchange they got some benediction also. So that's how Indra somehow managed to recover himself from the sinful reaction of killing Vishwarupa. But another reaction is awaiting Indra. Indra cannot escape the reaction of killing a Brahmana so easily. He killed Brahmana named Vishwarupa, and Vishwarupa's father was Tvashta. So Tvashta became so angry at Indra Tvashta was extremely upset with Indra, and Tvashta performed a ritual, great sacrifice, to get a son who can kill Indra. So Tvashta lost his son because of Indra. Tvashta wanted another son who can kill Indra. So he performed a great sacrifice. In that sacrifice, he chanted mantras, and somehow he pronounced the mantras in a wrong intonation. Because of this mispronunciation, instead of getting a son who can kill Indra, Tvashta got a son who will be killed by Indra. So that's the nature of rituals. If there are some sacrifices and Vedic rituals that are conducted with a specific material purpose, one may not be successful in those rituals unless one follows all rules and regulations very meticulously. But there are no such rules and regulations in the chanting of the holy names of the Supreme Lord Krishna. So tatrarpita niyamita smaranena kala, even for some reason if one is unable to pronounce the name properly, still the holy names of the Lord are very merciful. So bhakti yoga is the ultimate path, and other karmakandic paths to attain some material results are always having some issues with them. Because of mispronunciation, he got the opposite result. Instead of getting a son who can kill Indra, he got a son who can be killed by Indra. So Tvashta did this sacrifice. So who is this son? This son is Vritrasura. You can see that picture. All the Brahmanas who were conducting the sacrifice were very small, and Vritrasura was so huge. A great demon, Vritrasura, came out of the sacrificial fire, and he was so tall, he was very blackish, he was so gigantic. He was lustrous, and he has hair like copper. You can see the picture, copper like hair. His body was almost touching the sky, and he covered all the planetary systems by dint of his austerity. His name is Vritra, because he has covered everything. He is called Vritra, one who covers everything. And as soon as he took birth, he came out of the sacrificial fire. He immediately went to attack the demigods. That's the purpose of his birth. So Vritrasura was not born as a small baby, and then he grew up gradually and attained youth, and then he was equipped with military science so that he can go and fight with the demigods. It's not like that. Vritrasura directly manifested with a weapon in his hand, with all ornaments, with a grown-up huge mountain-like body, which is like thunderbolt, and he immediately went to attack the demigods. And the demigods saw Vritrasura, who is such a huge demon, such a great demon. So they became so afraid of Vritrasura, and they ran away to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So whenever there are some difficulties, the demigods naturally take shelter of Lord Vishnu. So the demigods, who are the controllers of the universe, are under great threat, great fear, which is created by Taksha. Tvashta in the form of Vritrasura. So when Vritrasura came to attack these demigods just ran to the shelter of Vishnu, and they offered such beautiful prayers to the Lord. They said that, "O Lord, we have to take your shelter only." In the 22nd verse, you can see that picture. Anyone who takes a shelter of the Supreme Lord will definitely be able to cross over this material existence very effortlessly. But if we take shelter of someone else other than the Supreme Lord, Vishnu or Krishna, it's like crossing an ocean by catching a dog's tail. So can you cross an ocean by catching a dog's tail? Dog itself is drowning. So similarly, if we take any other material shelter, we will only be disappointed. But if we take shelter of the Supreme Lord, then we will be successful in all our endeavors. O Lord, you have incarnated as Matsya. You can see that picture. You have incarnated as Matsya, and you have protected all of us. All the sages and Manu were protected in the ocean of inundation, because as Matsyavatar, the Lord has dragged one big boat in which all the sages are there, all the important herbs are there, this Vaivasvata Manu was there, and this boat was hooked to the horn of Matsyavatar, and then he took this boat across the ocean of inundation. So in this way, Lord Matsya protected his devotees. And as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, you have enlightened Brahma. You can see the next picture. Brahmaji was saved, and Brahmaji was bewildered in the beginning of creation. He could not understand his own identity. He did not know what to do. Then the Lord said, perform austerity. Brahmaji has performed austerity, and Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu has given his darshan to Brahma. Otherwise, Brahma was bewildered by the water of devastation in the beginning of creation. So then the Lord is situated as super soul within his heart, within everybody's heart. And although people cannot see him, the Lord can see everyone. Now our eyes can see our hands, but our hands cannot see the eyes. Similarly, the Supreme Lord Krishna or Vishnu can see everyone, but we may not be able to see the Lord. We need that Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena. Our eyes, our vision should be filled with devotion and love for the Lord. Then we will be able to see him. Then the Lord expanded into so many other transcendental forms in different species as Varaha, Narasimha, Kurma, Vamana, Matsya, Buddha, Buddha, Kalki. So like that, so many forms are there, and Viratrup form is there. So, O Lord, you have protected us in so many ways, in so many incarnations. Now this Vritrasur is attacking us. Can you please protect us from this Vritrasur also? So the Lord, then after the demigods offered these prayers, Lord Vishnu manifested in front of the demigods. You can see in that picture. So Lord Vishnu gave his darshan to the demigods, and the demigods again offered prayers to the Lord. The demigods said, "Oh Lord, your qualities are unlimited. Now you are the controller of time factor. You are the controller of three destinations, that is heavenly planets, hellish planets and earthly planets. These are the three destinations that we can go. You are the controller of all these three destinations. Only devotees can realize you through their preaching efforts and meditation efforts. And you need no, you don't need any support, but you give support to the entire existence, entire universe. You are the creator, you are the maintainer, you are the destroyer. Who can understand, who cannot understand your position? Do not accept the results of actions. You do not accept the results of actions. And if we also do not accept the results of our actions, we become detached to our material activities, then we will be able to understand you. And your unlimited glories are inconceivable to all the conditioned souls. There is no duality in you. You are the basic principle of everything. So in this way, the demigods glorified the Supreme Lord Vishnu in various ways. And in the 39th shloka, they say, they make a very brilliant point. With Krishna Katha, devotees forget material sense gratification. And they understand that they become real well-wishers of all living entities, and they achieve real goal of life, and they never return back to this material world. So like that, the demigods offered very knowledgeable and realized prayers to the Supreme Lord. O Lord, you are the Lord of three worlds. You have appeared in various incarnations to kill the demons. And you are omniscient. You know our purpose. Now currently, we are under a great threat. This Tvashta has created a big demon named Vritrasur. And that Vritrasur is attacking all of us. He was so huge. And with our strength, we won't be able to encounter him, confront him or kill him. So we need your blessings. Oh Lord, you have incarnated in so many forms earlier to protect us. Can't you incarnate once again to protect us from this Vritrasur? Please give us some solution, or you personally come as an incarnation to protect us. Like that, the demigods prayed to Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu said, "Oh, Devatas, you have offered so many knowledgeable prayers. You have praised my transcendental attributes and my powers and opulences and my incarnations, various forms in very eloquent manner. I am very impressed with your glorification. Your prayers are very knowledgeable and devotional. But you have prayed with a material desire. And at the end of your prayer, this is what you want? You just wanted me to protect you from a demon? So, Vishnu condemned such kind of desires in his devotees. He said that you have offered prayers in a knowledgeable manner and nothing is difficult when I am pleased with your prayers, but you have some external desire, protection from Vritrasur. You just want me to kill Vritrasur. That's all you want from me? Anyways, I have to respond to your prayers. Of course, by the will of the Lord, the demigods are supposed to be peacefully taking care of the universal administrative affairs. For that, they should not be disturbed by the demons. The Lord definitely will address the situation and give them the solution to kill Vritrasur, no doubt about it. The Lord knows everything. But in this context, the Lord also took the opportunity to inform all of us and the demigods that our devotional service, our prayer to the Lord should be selfless, not selfish, not with a material desire. So if we have some material intentions behind our prayers, then the Lord is not very impressed with such kind of prayers. We should be offering selfless, unmotivated, devotional prayers to the Lord. And our only desire should be to render service to the Supreme Lord and not that such kind of material desires. This is what the Lord is indicating to the demigods. But anyways, you have come to me for a solution, so I am giving you a solution. The Lord gives the solution to the demigods. The Lord says, Vishnu says, that, oh demigods, you all should go to Dadhichi Rishi. He is also called Dadhyancha. So go to a sage named Dadhichi and ask for his body. This Dadhichi is so austere. He is a great exalted devotee. His body is filled with the power of his austerity and knowledge. He is very accomplished in his devotional service. And Dadhichi has assimilated spiritual science. And he taught that spiritual science to Ashwini Kumaras also. And he is the one who gave Narayana Kavacha to Tvashta and Vishwarupa. You received Narayana Kavacha from Vishwarupa. Actually, Dadhichi has given that to Vishwarupa also. So Dadhichi is very powerful sage and he is my pure devotee. So you should go to him and beg him. For what? For his body. So you beg him for his body and you take his bones, and Vishwakarma will manufacture a thunderbolt out of the bones of Dadhichi, because the body of Dadhichi is very powerful. And this powerful thunderbolt or Vajrayudha will be able to kill Vritrasur. So Vritrasur was a demon, apparently. And Dadhichi was a pure devotee, a brahmana, a sage. So the Lord is giving a plan for the death of Dadhichi. So you all should go and ask Dadhichi to die. Ask his body. Asking his body means what? Separating him from his body. That means death. So basically death here is liberation only in the case of Dadhichi. Lord Vishnu exactly knows. Let me relieve Dadhichi from this body and let me take him to my loving company. The Lord wanted to take Dadhichi back to his loving association. That's why the Lord has made this plan. So one should not think that how can the Supreme Lord Vishnu make a plan to kill his own devotee Dadhichi? One should not sentimentally think like that. Whatever the Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna do, it's only for the welfare of their devotees. Apparently, the devotee may be undergoing some difficulty, or apparently we may see that there is some injustice being done to the devotees, but actually there is no injustice. The Lord is always the supreme well-wisher of all his devotees. And he also wants to show and demonstrate the greatness and sacrificing spirit and tolerance and devotion and faith of his devotees to this entire universe. So Dadhichi will happily give his body. We will see that in the next episode. And because of Dadhichi's selfless sacrifice and obedience to the will of the Lord and cooperating spirit with the demigods and surrender to the Lord and faith in the Lord's instruction, Dadhichi is glorious and we will understand his glories. And the Supreme Lord Vishnu wanted to glorify Dadhichi and announce his glories to the whole planet. That's why the Lord has used Dadhichi as an instrument. So the Lord is instructing the demigods, you people should go and ask Dadhichi for his body and he will give his body and you can make a thunderbolt out of his body and you can actually utilize that thunderbolt to kill Vritrasur. Just as Dadhichi is a devotee, Vritrasur is also a devotee of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. That we will see in the next to next episode. But at this stage, we will just understand that Vritrasur is also a devotee and the Supreme Lord Vishnu is giving a master plan to kill his devotee Vritrasur. So the Lord is planning for the death of his own devotees, Dadhichi and Vritrasur. But Dadhichi and Vritrasur are so mature in their connection and in their devotion to the Supreme Lord that they did not feel bad. They did not feel disgraced that how can the Supreme Lord, our worshipable God, make a plan to kill us? But they know on a material plane, on an external plane, we may be getting separated from our material bodies, but we will be reinstated in Krishna's eternal service. So the soul has no death. And even if the Lord apparently plans for the death of his devotees, as he is doing here in the case of Dadhichi and Vritrasur, the Lord is the supreme well-wisher of his devotees and the Lord will take these devotees back to his loving association to give them mercy. Then Lord Vishnu told all these demigods that use that thunderbolt to kill Vritrasur, then you will definitely regain your position, your wealth and your weapons. So with this great plan, the Lord encouraged the devatas and now the devatas will go to Dadhichi and beg for his body. What will happen when they go to Dadhichi, we will discuss in the next episode. Thank you all very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.